the verses throughout the sermon so you'll know what we're doing. As we look at this week and think about humble love, Jesus gave up heaven to come to earth to live as a human and to die as a human. Jesus chose humility, living to serve others, and he offered up himself as a ransom, the Bible says, for many. It was this act of love, think about that, an act of love that caused him to be given the name above all names. It's because of what he did that we honor him and say, name above all names. Let's pray. Lord, help us to put others before ourselves like Jesus did. And like Jesus, help us to be obedient and faithful to the high calling to which you have called us. We pray this in his holy name. Amen. Welcome, church. It's good to see you again. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad we have guests with us today visiting as we approach Easter, as we look forward to the Easter season. As we continue that movement toward Easter, today we come again to the sermon series Passion. You saw the little blurb before us and you've seen it outside hanging on the sign. Remember, Jesus was hanging on the cross. It wasn't the nails that kept him there. It wasn't the threat of the Roman legion and all of their hatred. It wasn't the hatred of the Jewish elite. Rather, it was his passion for humanity. It was the passion that Jesus had, the love that Jesus had for you, for God so loved the world. It was that love that caused him to take the punishment upon himself, our own sins on himself. The Bible says it was laid upon him. It was laid, all of our sin was laid on Jesus as he hung on the cross. Jesus gave up his life as a human so that you might have eternal life. Think about that again. Jesus gave up his life as a human. He was 100% God, 100% man. Don't know how that works. That's God's business, not mine. He was all man and all God at the same time. But that part that was human, the part that could bleed blood, because Hebrews says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He became the sacrifice for us so that you and I might have eternal life. Last week, as we looked at week number one, we saw that it was love that was fueled. It was that sacrificial love that fueled Jesus' actions. That love that motivated him. Again, we looked last week at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his one and only son. God gave us his greatest gift, did he not? If that was his one and only, wouldn't it be the most precious? Sure it would. He gave that so that we might experience the forgiveness of God and everlasting life. And in this life, an abundance of life. In the video that you see each week, it talks about life. Jesus came that you might have that life. He gave it. As you look in the New Testament, Acts 28:35 said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He gave his life. He surrendered his life. He offered up his life for you and for me. He gave it away. A number of years ago, I was in the Mickey Mantle ballpark in Oklahoma City. I don't know if you've ever been to the ballpark up there. At the time, it was the Red Hawks. They've renamed it to another ball club now, but it was the Red Hawks at that time. I enjoyed going with my family. We'd get season tickets and go, and I was with Danielle one time. We were sitting on the first base side Now that's normally, you know, the other team stuff, but that's fine. We're on the first base side, and I had really, we had really good seats. They had this one section where it's just like four seats. You know, it's right in the corner, and so, you know, it's right between home plate and first base, and you get a great view of everything that's going on. I liked it there. Only problem was it's a good place for foul balls. So if you're wanting foul balls, it might not be a bad place to be either. So Danielle had brought her glove. Now, she wasn't very old at the time. She's learning how to play girls softball, and so she had her glove, and it was all ready, and she was holding it along with her hot dog and her drink. You know how that goes. And somebody tipped a foul ball, and it beelined for her face. Now, it was hilarious to me as a parent to watch her try to decide how to get her glove up in enough time. Well, I was sitting on the outside, and she was on the inside. And so when it was about 3 feet from it, I just went like that and grabbed it because there was no way she was going to get it up. And I mean, it was heading straight for her face. Did I keep that ball? No, I was there because of her. We were there that she might experience what it was to go to the ball game, enjoy it. And so I handed the ball and put it in her glove, and all the people around us were clapping because I gave her the ball. I'm the dad. What else are you going to do? Keep it? Come on. But I gave it away that she might experience the joy of that game. God gave his life away that you might experience joy. He humbled himself, and rather than, the Bible says, holding on to, generously gave himself. If you look at 2 Corinthians 9, the Bible says this in verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Paul's talking in that section about generosity, and he comes down to that one passage of Scripture and concludes it with those phrases, indescribable gift. What is his indescribable gift? It was his son. And the gift of forgiveness through his act on the cross, the gift is Jesus. It's what we talk about when we have Christmas, isn't it? We talk about gifts and giving, and what is that gift that was given if it was not God's own son? And it was a gift to all humanity that heaven gave to be with us. I think about that and all that it entails, and sometimes I don't think we understand how he was fueled by that love, as we discussed last week, but that activity was done humbly. I mean, here's the King of kings, name above all names, the Lion of Judah, and he humbled himself to walk the dusty roads of Israel, a place where you needed to wash your feet, in a backwards time that you and I might have the forgiveness of God. He humbled himself as a king because you and I had a desperate need. As we look at this, I think we need to look at the passage of scriptures that help us to understand how Jesus displayed his passion for us. There are numbers that we could read. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And here the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says a number of things that I think are pertinent to what we want to talk about when we think about a humble relationship. I'm reading from the New National Version, if you'd like to know. In your relationship with one another, have this same mindset that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That mindset is what we come to today. We look at that. God, I will go and do what you are calling me to do, Jesus says. But sometimes you and I say, God, I will go and do what you want as long as it aligns with what I want. As long as it's on my priority list, and as long as it's on my schedule, as long as it's in my comfort zone, I will obey. Am I being tough on us? I don't think so. I really don't. Maybe God talked to you years ago and said you should be in the ministry, and you let the things of the world dissuade you from that. I know people that tell me that all the time. God called me to be a missionary, and I really felt that. But then, you know, we had kids and got married and job and school and whatever. And, you know, I really, and they lose that calling because they were not obedient to him. Or I've seen parents tell people who have come forward and wanted to dedicate their life to their children, you can't go overseas. It's dangerous over there. It's dangerous everywhere. But they have hindered people in their own family from making a commitment to God because it did not fit their schedule or it was not comfortable. Are you not glad Jesus didn't do that? Was it comfortable to live among us? Was it comfortable to die on the cross? No, it wasn't. I think Paul, more than any other, came to understand that we are used by God and can do great things outside our comfort zone. I don't know what your comfort zone is. I don't know what God is asking you to do. I can't read your mind, but I know God is calling you to do something. You're not here to warm the pew. You're here to serve him as a humble servant. What is it that God is calling you to do? What is it that your mindset tells you you should surrender to God for today? What is it he's leading you to do? I think we look at this passage and we have to think humility. George Bernard Shaw said, "Those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything." Those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. If you're going to think like Christ and have the mindset of Christ, I imagine most of us here today need to have some reconstruction mentally to be willing to do what Christ was willing to do. Thankfully, I think the Bible has some very specific instructions and encouragement about the mind of Christ and the thoughts therein, what he thought. That passage in Philippians, you also know, says this: whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything there be excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Philippians 4:8. You see, the Bible instructs us how to have the mind of Christ. How to be a humble servant. I do that by making my mind submit to God in these ways. In what ways? The truth, nobility, what's right, what's pure, what's lovely, what's admirable, what's praiseworthy. The world would fill you up with things that are not that, right? The world would bombard you with things that are not pure, that are not lovely, that are not praiseworthy. The world would tell you to live for yourself, get your part. I heard an expression a number of years ago, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. That's the world, isn't it? That's what the world thinks. But Jesus says, give it away. I think so often we wander down deep, dark territory. We get ourselves stuck somewhere where we begin to believe that the things of the Bible may not be as true as we once thought they were, and we struggle with that. I think the antidote for that, Paul says, is to think about the things that are true. To focus our mind on the lovely and the trustworthy and the good. And it's a reminder of a place to start. I think there are other encouragements we can get. We can go to Romans 2 or 12, 2, and it gives us the mindset that we should not conform, the Bible says. That means to press into a mold. We do not conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed, it says in Romans 12, 2. By the what? Renewing of your mind. That's how you transform yourself. I do not transform myself by actions. That's what the Jews tried to do, right? They tried to act holy. Oh, they could tell you how to act holy before God. They had books. And if they didn't have books, they had oral traditions that they put in books to tell about what the Bible said to do. They had descriptions on how much water it took to purify yourself. It had to be so much of a half of an eggshell that you drip. They didn't know about germs, but it was just water. And they had it measured down to what we would say the ounce of how much it needed to purify yourself. It's not by actions. It's by the changing and the renewing of our minds. It's how God changes our hearts that changes who we are. I can act religious, but actions religious don't save me, are they? No. It's accepting Jesus' grace that saves me. By the renewing and the changing of the pattern of my mind, he transforms us into something else. The scripture becomes alive to us. The scripture becomes real. The spirit changes us. Jesus is praying to God on the Mount of Olives. And as he prays in Luke 22, he says, Father, if you're willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. An angel from heaven, the Bible says, appeared and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and the sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus was in anguish when he prayed that prayer. Even still, he humbled himself. Did he not? He humbled himself and gave himself to the will of God, which led to the cross. I also think we can act in humility. We can act in humility. We change our mind, but we also follow through with actions. Jesus had a humble mindset and posture, and Paul relates in the passage of Philippians 2, 6 through 7, Jesus being in the very, what, nature of God, it says. King James says the form of God. Did not consider equality with God to be something, one translation says, to be grasped at or held on to, but made of himself nothing and took on the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. Jesus acted in humility in a most unbelievable way. You would imagine from knowing things about leaders and kings and rulers and presidents and potentates that when they walk into town, they want everybody to know who they are. They dress the part. People blow horns, they ride fancy horses, or they're led into town carried by four guys with poles and he's on a couch. Or you look through history and you see people coming into town and letting everybody know who they are. Or if you see a king, you kneel before him, or you might lose your head. But Jesus acted in humility in the most unbelievable way. People called him a king and he said, if this was my kingdom, my people would fight. But he had come not to be a king, but to be a servant. He willingly chose to make himself nothing. I want you to take a moment and think, are you willing to make yourself nothing to serve other people? Most of the time when we do something, we expect people to say thank you, right? If I do something for you, if I help you change a tire, come over to your house, I help you do some kind of activity in your house, you expect to at least get a glass of tea and a pat on the back and thank you, right? I mean, come on. But is that why we do it? The Bible said Jesus made himself nothing. That's humility. I remember a number of years ago, Tom Eliff, you may know, was head of the mission board, Southern Baptist Foreign Mission Board, pastor in Oklahoma, well known. He was exciting Eastwood Baptist Church when I was growing up. He matter of fact, did our baccalaureate service when I graduated in 1976. But he was at First Baptist Church Moore, and when he went there, they were in debt. Previous leadership had caused them to build a giant facility, and when he got there, they were heavily in debt. And the decision was made by him at the time to begin to reduce staff and expenses. And so they cut everything and everybody. They got down to where they had like a music minister, a children's minister, and the pastor. And we're talking a church that ran 1,000 plus. But they did not have enough money to pay people to do things. It would not be uncommon. I have been there in conferences and went to different things before. It wouldn't be uncommon to see a CEO of a company or a bank president emptying trash out of the bathroom. I have seen these guys who I've seen in public doing other important activities, emptying trash, giving directions to people, telling people how they could go, rather than being the center of attention like you would expect them to be. Because there was a need, they humbled themselves. Jesus humbled himself, and he is the gold standard for you and I to do what is necessary. I don't know if a story like First Baptist Church Moore touches you, but it has me over the years to know that maybe I need to re-look at how I see my service to Jesus and the church. Am I in it only for what I can get out of it or what it needs? To be humble is to not worry about what I'm getting, but to what everybody else's need. We focus more on we and less on me. Maybe that would be something to think about this week. We need to focus more on we and less of me. Maybe you should say that a couple times this week and see how it changes your mindset to be willing to be humble, because humility is powerful. Being selfish is our normal operating procedure, isn't it? We look out for ourselves. But what we do is change our mind and then begin to do selfless activities, and it changes how we react to the world. I think also we need to obey humbly. We need to change the way we think, we need to change the way we act, but then we need to obey humbly. One of the most important steps we can take relates to mirroring Christ's activity in obeying the Father. Paul says when Jesus appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. Am I obedient to what God wants from me? Am I giving myself? Take your Bible and turn to Mark, if you would, for just a minute. Mark 15. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, verse 1, and the teachers of the law and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans, and they bound Jesus and led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? You have said so. Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer? See how the things they are accusing you of? But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom of the festival to release a prisoner from whom the people requested, and a man called Barabbas was in prison with insurrectionists. That meant he was trying to overthrow Rome, and he would do it by horrible means. Killing people, assassinations, by violence. Who, having committed murder in the uprising, the crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. You want me to release you, the king of the Jews? He asked. Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him, but the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews? Pilate asked them. Crucify him. They shouted. Why? What crime has he committed? But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them, and he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Jesus had not done anything worthy of that kind of treatment, and yet he was to die the death of a criminal. He does this in obedience to what the Father wanted. It wasn't the Jews that set him up to be on the cross. It wasn't the Romans that set him up to be on the cross. It was God that made him want to go to the cross for you. The Romans didn't put him there. They didn't hold him there. They were active. They were people who were still responsible. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? "Not my will, but your will be done." And that sacrifice to obedience cost him his life. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus did not stay dead. Amen? That he was resurrected. The pain, the suffering, the life, it all served a purpose, just as yours does. The pain, the suffering, the servanthood, the humility serves a purpose. And I believe that as we are humble, it draws people to him. When people see what you are willing to do for God, they're willing to listen. But if you make of yourself something opposite of what Jesus did, if you hold on to your pride, if you're not willing to change the mindset and change the activities and be obedient to God, people will see you for what you are, selfish and uncaring. Fortunately, sometimes that is the way we are. But here we have Jesus, who was willing to give himself so that you and I might have forgiveness. Is it worth it to be humble? Romans 8:28, you're familiar with, says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those who God foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren and sisters." God wants you to be like Jesus. He is the example. He is the one we are to be like. I am not to act, I may be a child of the king, but I'm not supposed to act like I'm the king. I'm supposed to act like Jesus, to conform humbly. All along, he trusted God that it would be as they planned. He would die for your sin. He would shed blood for you, but he would rise again the third day. It was all a part of the plan. He knew what would happen. If you have your Bible, turn to John 15. Verse 9, John 15, verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, and just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and be complete. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you." And then it wraps up in this great verse. "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends," for another. Consider this week a road. I travel a road every week from Edmond, Oklahoma City, to Sand Springs. I burn up the road every week, back and forth. Stop over in Shawnee and see the parents and do it all over again. I know that road. I know where it leads. You know where the road of humility leads. It leads to Jesus, right? It leads to the image of his son. Are you thinking of yourself or others? Do you put them first, or do you trade your life for theirs? This week, some selfless act by you could draw someone to God. Some act of humility where you put someone else first over yourself with no thought of return, no pat on the back, but just because they need it. They might not even be in church. They may be someone you will never see again, but you will be led this week to be humble, because that's what his love is. Obediently humble to the will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Help us to lift others up, to encourage them, to help them feel love this week like you did for us. Your love is a warm blanket. It gives us comfort that you are willing to do everything possible that we might be with you. There was nothing you weren't willing to do, even the death of the cross. Help us this week to find someone to love in your behalf. Help us to be humble this week in love. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.